show brought to you by Gummo. One bottle helps clean uncomfortable causes and can restore your car's lost performance. That's good, clean driving.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
The other side of the debate over George Bush and John Kerry, just the political landscape, Margaret Gray joins us from the newsroom, actually over there at the Seneca, where you're working on your column for tomorrow, right, Margaret?
Yes. So part of it is going to be about the Sundance Film Festival that Frank and I just returned from. Most of it's going to be about this so-called war on terror that has been waged by George Bush. I have first-hand experience at the kind of megalomania and paranoia that drives this, and I want to write about that. I'm just really, literally hours from the experience itself, and I want to get it on paper because it's fresh in my memory.
Well, was this while you were flying home?
Yes, Phil, Frank and I were flying back from Sundance. Frank is my husband and I guess you could say my partner in crime in a lot of the things we've written about and the travels we've had over the last 30 years. I am constantly working. Frank likes to sleep on the plane. We have flown first class since Frank and I got married, because Frank always used to say, you know, why fly coach when you can fly first class? Since George Bush began his so-called war on terror, there has been a rule instituted that the curtain between first class and coach not be closed, but kept open for security reasons.
All right, and for a lot of our listeners, that curtain is the one that you see sitting back there in coach, you know, that kind of separates you. Used to be closed, but it isn't anymore.
That is correct. We were in the last row of first class, and a man sitting in coach behind us was staring at me. You know the feeling you get and that someone is staring?
You almost feel their eyes burning into you.
Yeah, and I turned around, and sure enough, there he was staring at me. We got our dinner, and I turned as if to adjust my pillow, and he was staring and smiling. I asked the flight attendant that there was one of the coach people staring at me. I sit in first class for a reason, for privacy, to work, and to be with people who are of a like mind, if you will. I asked the flight attendant, would she close the curtains? She said no, she couldn't, because of the new FAA regulations, read George Bush's war on terror. And that required her to keep it open. I said to her, I want the curtain closed. Now, she's a flight attendant making, what, $30,000 a year? So she can serve bad coffee and pretend she knows what to do if the plane is in a nosedive and we're all threatened with being burned alive. And so I said to her, close the curtain, and she again said she would not. I reiterated that a man in coach was staring at me. The curtain is there for a reason. I said, close it. And I did use an unfortunate word.
All right, now that's when the police were called, when the plane... What did you call her?
I called her the C word. I was being stared at. It felt to me like he was sizing me up for some kind of a molestation. Some kind of, in a lavatory somewhere, or once we got back in the terminal. I was very frightened, and only women know how that feels. She then had the captain come back and talk to me and threaten me with arrest. This is George Bush's War on Terror and Patriot Act gone mad. I said to Frank that Bush's paranoia and megalomania, we have spent millions to help some Iraqi get his farm back, and I am being stared at by someone in coach who looks like he's sizing me up for some kind of fondling. And this is what George Bush has done to my country. Again, I'm sitting in first class. I'm being stared at by a man in coach.
All right, but the police eventually were called in, right?
Yeah, well, what happened was, I got out, I walked down the aisle first.
All right, before you tell me what happened, after you got off the plane, I want to give our phone number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Now, again, just to be clear, you were sitting in first class, they wouldn't close the curtain so the man in coach wouldn't stare at you, right?
That is correct, yes.
And in your mind, this is the Patriot Act?
No, Phil, it's just the paranoia of George Bush's war on terror. doesn't allow me to enjoy sitting in a first-class seat, but I have to be stared at by people in coach, and they didn't pay to sit there, and they won't close the curtains, and this flight attendant, who, yes, I'm sorry, I called her that name.
That's a strong name to call somebody.
I am sorry, but again, I thought it was very, very rude of her not to at least close the curtain. She's a flight attendant making $30,000 a year to serve bad coffee and pretend she knows what to do if we're all going to burn alive in a gasoline fire. Do you trust that? Do the American people trust that? And more importantly, Phil, do they trust George Bush's war on terror?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show, talking with Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist, on being stared at by somebody in coach while she was sitting in first class. Now, let's get back. Was this man a molester?
You know something I never found out, Phil?
Well, tell me the story. You were coming off the gangway.
What happened was I got out. I walked down the aisle first. I could feel my heart beating, as only a woman knows what I'm talking about, really, as your heart beats when you know there's a predator. And as we moved onto the gangway, I felt a man's hand touch me.
Okay.
And squeeze. And I said to myself, you really have to, and women who've been through this know what I'm talking about, I said, stay grounded. I was carrying a Hewlett-Packard computer in a case, and it's fairly heavy, and with all of my might, I swung around and I hit him squarely hit the head with it. And it turned out that it was Frank who had grabbed my bottom. So I'm looking at my husband who's being taken to an airport infirmary. He has a good-sized laceration across his face. And this is George Bush's war on terror. I don't think so.
Well, you hit your husband who had touched you.
The point is, Phil, that this man and coach had been looking at me. And
but when you got squeezed, I assume on your bottom, as you say?
Yes.
You thought it was this guy, and it was your husband?
Technically, yes, that is true. But what I'm trying to say to you is, I pay for a first-class ticket, I want the curtain closed, I don't need some man looking at me from a coach seat, staring and smiling.
How do you know he wasn't just trying to be friendly? How do you know?
Phil, I frankly don't. The point is this. I sit in first class for comfort, for the food, for the other people. Why isn't that curtain, if I turn around and I look at some, at these people in coach, it feels as if you're sitting in coach. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the war on terror has robbed me and millions of Americans the right to feel. I don't know whether it's special, and while George Bush sits in his White House with his finger on the button that could blow this entire world to pieces, there are women like me in danger of being fondled here in my home or on an airline.
All right, but I want the record to show that when you had your rear end squeezed, you thought it was the guy, you came around and hit your own, it was your husband.
That is correct technically, but I really believe, Phil, that this man was on his way to somehow molest me. And George Bush's war on terror puts my husband in a hospital bed.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. George Bush's war on terror, should it include closing the curtain between first class and coach? Or should it include not being able to close the curtain between first class and coach, especially since people pay a pretty price to sit in first class? Mary, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, Mary.
I have to tell you, I have never been so outraged in my life as what this lady is saying. It doesn't matter if you're first class or coach, you have to follow the rules. The FAA made those rules for a reason. My daughter is a flight attendant. And I'll tell you what, those flight attendants, a lot of them do not make $30,000 a year. It doesn't matter that they serve bad coffee. They're there to assist the traveler in any way they can. But they have to follow the rules, and all of us have to follow the rules.
Well, I understand, but when I asked her, look, close the curtain. Look, she's making $30,000 a year.
What difference
to pretend
does it make how much
she's
making?
She knows what to do if the plane explodes.
You know, you've said that three times. You haven't said anything else but that.
No,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much she makes. All that matters is that she has her roles she has to follow.
You know
and
what would
she
be
was
fun?
Trained.
You know what would be fun, Mary? I think you should do this, Phil, right now. Who's in favor of the George Bush war on terror, and who's against it?
That's got absolutely nothing to do with whether a person is rude.
Oh, my God. Yes, it does.
Well.
Because, I'll tell you, Mary, I fly first class. My husband's well off.
You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how well off you are or your husband. You fly on the same plane. The front of the plane doesn't get there any faster than the back of the plane. If everybody on the plane is polite and courteous to everybody else, you all get along fine. But if one person gets on there with attitude and thinks that they should have things a certain way because they spent a few hundred more dollars for their plane ticket, it doesn't work that way.
I want to make a joke. The front of the plane technically does get there sooner than the back of the plane.
Well, that's quite a joke.
That's
I'm not laughing.
Well, come on. Secondly,
well, I'll tell you what, if that
secondly,
was my daughter, and my daughter has told me many times of the things she puts up with on the airplane. And after 9/11 happened, most of the time, the people on the plane were very courteous and helpful.
That's
and
right.
They usually assist her now because they don't want to put up with unruly
And passengers. I do, too. But I think the Patriot Act and the George Bush War on Terror has made...
Wait a minute. The Patriot Act's got nothing to do with them closing the curtain between first class and coach.
It's all the same paranoia.
But it has
and yet
to
I don't get to sit and have food.
Courtesy.
And, Mary, it is different where you live. You live in 42-degree weather. You're not in
Listen,
danger of being molested.
Ma'am, you know nothing about me.
If
I have lived in Japan. I have lived in Germany. I have lived in England.
And the other
Washington,
thing, if I could jump in, Mary, you know, calling her the C word.
I apologize, but frankly, she deserved it.
Calling her that kind of a name?
She did not deserve to be called anything because she was doing her job.
And what about me? What about my husband and I, who we paid premium prices for first-class seats?
What difference does it make how much
look,
you paid?
I have to look at those people. Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're supposed to be facing forward, so
yeah. You
shouldn't have to be looking at the person behind you.
You can feel them, their eyes burning into the back of your head, staring at you as you eat off of China, as you get drinks when you want. I can feel them. I know the jealousy.
Well, you know what? When the end comes, we all go the same way, basically, and we all end up in the same place.
And if I get molested in baggage claim, then what do you say?
You know, it has nothing to do with how much money. It has to do with what kind of a person you
Very
are.
Very true,
you
Mary. Thank you. I got to take a break, but thank you, Mary, for your call. Margaret, I will tell you.
If I get molested in baggage claim, what do you say then?
I say that there was a predator on the plane, and maybe he would not have spotted you had the curtains been closed.
Thank you. Thank God someone's finally seeing it. If the curtains are closed, some of these people in coach don't see who's sitting in first class until well after they're off the plane, and those people are not in jeopardy of being molested or robbed. But no, the George Bush War on Terror has the curtains open so this man can see me, size me up for a fondlement.
All right, hold the line. 1-800-449. If she puts it that way, I can understand. But it's not like it's part of the Patriot Act. 1-800-449-8686. People who sit in first class, shouldn't they be allowed to have the curtain closed so that the people in coach can't look at them, size them up for robbing them or otherwise, otherwise attacking them? Has the George Bush War on Terror gone too far? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry, drug addict. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And I knew her for a long time.
All right, we're back with Margaret Gray from A Little Bird Told Me, the nationally syndicated column. He'll be writing this column about you flying back from the Sundance Film Festival with a flight attendant would not close the curtain between first class and coach. You were in first class. You were being stared at by some guy in coach. Suppose nobody was staring at you, Margaret, in coach. Would you mind if the curtain was open?
You know, it's a good question, but I still would like to have it closed. It's not that I'm a snob. Believe me, Phil, I have been there, done that. It's that you feel a little bit more insulated from a group of people who maybe didn't work as hard as you, who maybe didn't have as many good ideas as you, and as a result can't afford to sit in first class. And I'd rather be talking to and feeling as if the whole plane is for me and my people.
The people in first class.
Yes, but it has nothing to do with disliking them.
All right, let's go to, I believe it's Marcy. Marcy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you are a total snob, lady, and you really need a reality check, and
how do you seem like that?
You got one. You are a snob. You know, anybody who is a real person, an authentic person, has friends in every category.
Absolutely.
And can talk. Well, no, absolutely. That's not you, and that's not what you said.
I can slum it with the best of them.
You know, you are the paranoid one. You're talking about George Bush. You've already decided a guy's going to molest you or try to, and the guy hasn't even spoken to you.
He's staring at me throughout. He's smiling when he looks at me.
Maybe he's being
friendly. Forgive him for smiling.
I'm not.
I didn't ask for him
to be arrested. I asked for some curtains to be closed, so he couldn't be looking at my body.
Yeah, and you were patronizing, and you don't know that he was looking at your body.
When I got up to get my computer out of the overhead compartment, he's looking me up and down like I'm some kind of a piece of meat.
Well, I mean, that's your opinion and your take on it, but you don't know that for sure, and you were very patronizing toward a professional who, you know, these flight attendants are professionals and they do know their job. And you're acting like just because she makes a lower salary than you, that she doesn't have a right to obey rules.
That
you can overrule her in rules that she's been giving.
Flight attendants do a wonderful job. But look,
let me just say one more thing.
Just so that they can, you know, they make us believe they know what to do if the plane is spinning wildly out of control. After being hit by a surface-to-air missile.
All right, look,
you've said that over and over, but I have one more thing to say. You know,
you were talking about that
you want to be with people that have worked harder. You know, there are people, ma'am, that have worked a lot harder than you, but maybe they don't have the breaks you've had, and they're sitting back in coach, or they're riding
a bus. Marcy, I got a better story. Victor Khayyam, who owned Remington, the Razor company.
Absolutely.
Victor Khayyam never flew first class. He says the biggest waste of his company's money. He always flew coach. He put his computer on his lap. This man was worth millions and millions of dollars.
Well, I don't believe that story.
He said so in an interview.
I think, ma'am, that you are taking yourself way too serious. Somebody has told you you're wonderful and you've believed it. And you know what? I hope that the curtains stays open.
Are you married to a stare freak?
It's too bad if you've been
the reason
me,
you don't think that man did anything wrong by staring at me is he's the type of man who's a stare freak, and maybe you're into guys like that.
You don't. No, I'm not going to judge a person because maybe they were staring
he's
off.
He's looking me up and down like I'm a side of beef.
Well, then ignore it. I mean, can't you do that? You're supposed to be so educated and cultured and refined. Ignore him.
You've been co-opted by the George Bush War on Terror. The Patriot Act is going to turn you into just another person with a tattoo on your wrist.
You're taking an experience you had and connecting it to the Patriot
Act. How do I ignore a man who wishes he could have a big piece of me?
All right, listen, Marcy, very good points. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. The War on Terror, she can't sit in first class without the curtain being open. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm talking with Margaret Gray about an experience she had in an airplane flying back from the Sundance Film Festival. You say you were being stared at while you were sitting in first class by someone sitting in coach. And because of the war on terror, they are not allowed to close those curtains between first class and coach. I understand that. But we have said, why not ignore the guy? Why not?
Phil, I asked the flight attendant to close it. I mean,
it's a violation of FAA rules for her to close it.
I didn't want to bring this up, but I want to say something, and I want to put this as delicately as I can. First of all, I'm a mother. I have a young son that I love very much, and I know how every mother loves her child. The individual that was staring at me in coach was, and I'll use the word, he was retarded.
All right, so?
It's a little disquieting to see someone looking at you with their head tilted to one side, eating a piece of bologna.
The boy was retarded.
He wasn't a boy. He was a man, I'd probably say, in his early 30s.
So he was someone who looked as if he might be developmentally disabled?
Yeah, okay, Phil. Developmentally disabled. Whatever you want to say. I use the French, retard. But the man was...
retard?
Yes.
All right, I don't know.
Exactly. And that's why I don't think you can make a comment.
1-800-449-8686. Should they close the curtain between first class and coach? Does it invade the privacy of those people in first class? Is this another example of George Bush's insane war on terror? Don, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Was that for Don?
Yes, Don. Go right ahead. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. First of all, let me correct just one thing she said before the last break. They didn't tattoo us on the wrist, so she's just talking blah, blah to be heard. Our tattoos are between our elbows and our wrist. I'm a survivor of Buchwald in 44. Onto her subject, which is completely ridiculous.
It's called Buchenwald, not Buchwald. That was Art Buchwald, you were thinking.
You need to study Yiddish, lady, and you'd say it the proper way.
Just have respect for this man's experience, will you?
Well, he said Buchwald.
I know what he said, and I think he knows where he's been.
It's a classism that this lady has. That's what they used to lock second and third class passengers below the elite decks, you know, on our liners, and let them drown. This lady is an absolute lunatic.
You're being silly.
You're an absolute lunatic, lady.
Now, first of all, how old are you? How old are you?
I'm 65.
So how could you have been at Buchenwald or at Buchenwald?
Do the math, lady. I'm 44. I was 5 years old, and 45. I was 6 years old. I was born in 39.
If you were five, it must have been fun. They didn't do things.
Oh, come on! Don't be stupid.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. Anyway, let's get to her subject here. This gentleman on the airliner that the passengers that took over, who on a cell phone called his wife in Pennsylvania. He was calling from the midship's steward station, and that's where the curtain between first class and coach is. He was a coach passenger. Now, the security people took these curtains down so anybody on that airplane, from any position on the airplane, can see when the command area, the pilot area, if there's a problem.
Oh, I don't know about all of
that's
this.
What it's
I'm
about.
Simply saying the man that was staring at me had his head tilted to one side.
Look, lady, that's your problem.
There was a
retard. That's your problem. That is absolutely your
there's
problem.
There's nothing more unsettling than for an overweight man wearing overalls and mouse ears,
you're
eating bologna and drooling, and looking
you're
at you.
Sick.
How am I?
You're
oh, my sick. God.
Three breaks ago, you described fondling in baggage. Is that a sex statement or what?
No, I was afraid that I would be fondled in baggage claim. And
you're sick. Don't you understand that you're sick?
How could that be sick?
That's not a normal concern.
You know something? When a 40-year-old man eating bologna and wearing mouse ears is staring at you throughout an entire plane ride,
lady,
it's safe to assume you're going to have some part of your erogenous area.
Don't you recognize
fingered?
Yeah, you know, I'm with you, Don.
You're making this into sexist, you know.
No, Don, bless your heart. Bless your heart, but you really need to heal your old wounds. Get over yourself and being at Art Buchwald's house.
You're whatever other talk show host talk is a left-wing wacko. That's how I see you.
You know something, Don.
You're totally out in space. You ought to have antennas coming out your head.
If a man is licking baloney, staring at you, what do you think?
If the man is developmentally disabled, as I said, if he is suffering from some kind of retardation or whatever you want to call it, then you just consider the source for the poor guy. He might have been fascinated by earrings you were wearing, some jewelry you were wearing. Maybe he was looking past you and out a window.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are really twisted.
And what makes you so special? What makes you the almighty here that gets to, just because you make more money, and you don't make more money than me, trust me, and I fly coach, what makes you so elite that you get to protect yourself? How about the other 15
we were sitting passengers? We were sitting in first class. Look, the man
How about
was
the rest of the people? Are there any other weirdos in first class?
Can I ask them? The man was licking bologna and sticking it on the window, and I'm supposed to sit there and think that's normal, and you call me sick.
Yeah, but put your eye blinders on and go to sleep. Pull the shades down so the people can see the TV. Be a human being. Be cooperative.
Did you have any men licking bologna at Art Buchwald's house? No.
The man was at Buchenwald. It was a concentration camp. If you say Art Buchwald's house one more time, I'm going to hang up on you.
You see, Phil, you've been affected, you and this guy, by the George Bush War on Terror. So the both of you can go straight to the hot place. Goodbye.
Oh, she hung up. She hung up on us.
Well, it's good that your listeners hear points of view like that, because that's really unfortunate that we have attitudes like that out in the country.
Well, one of the problems is that I don't think anybody quite, a lot of people don't quite realize, Don, as I'm sure you've surmised yourself, that 9/11 actually happened. I think they think it just was a blip on the radar, and we're back to life. No, wait a second. She called back? If you hang up on me one more time, ma'am.
Phil, I want to say one thing. Is the caller still there?
Yes,
ma'am. Is the caller there? Okay. The man was sticking baloney.
Get out of here. Okay, Don, thanks for your call and your experience there in Europe during the war. One can only imagine, but I'm sure it made you a better person. Thank you.
Bad.
All right, sir. Yeah. Bye-bye. Were you at Art Buchwald's house? Yeah?
He was using the baloney to shade the sun for the love of Jesus.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686, the number to hear on the Phil Henry Show. And our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. And that's where you can go to get a backstage pass and hear all this jazz that you're listening to right now once again, if you'd like to, or some stuff that maybe you haven't heard. In fact, we're going to be featuring what we call our Clip of the Week. And that means that every week we'll have a different clip featured. So you can click onto that and listen to it. It's just like it's from all over the place. These different things are from different years and different eras of the Phil Henry Boulevard. And he believes that onion dip shouldn't be served at Super Bowl parties. Believe me, I have no idea what that one's about. I got no clue. I mean, it sounds pretty messed up. But let's just look at it. It says, Dave Oliva does not want onion dip served. It is underneath it a nice team picture of the crew. Mark Newman, myself, Janice and Garrow, Doug Jones, and Chris Pelton. You can see our ugly mugs, except for Janice. She's cute. And then you can go in and of course go into our souvenir shop. So it's all there at www.philhenryshow.com. And then in my travels while we were doing that Margaret bit, I logged on to IMDb because I had some idea that I wanted the guy that she was staring at to be maybe have a disfigured face. So I looked up Frankenstein 1970 on IMDb. This was a real movie with Boris Karloff. Listen to this plot summary. This is bitchin'. Listen to this plot summary. Frankenstein 1970. It came out in 1958. And I have no idea what the 1970 it refers to, other than the fact he's the Frankenstein of the future. But here it is. Baron Victor von Frankenstein, played by Boris Karloff, has fallen on hard times. He was tortured at the hands of the Nazis for not cooperating with them during World War II, and he is now badly disfigured. As his family's wealth begins to run out, the Baron is forced to allow a TV crew shooting a documentary on his monster-making ancestors to film at his castle in Germany. However, the Baron has some ideas of his own. Using the money from the crew's rent, he buys an atomic reactor and uses it to create a hulking monster, transplanting his butler's brain into the thing and using it to kill off the crew for more spare parts. Now, if that ain't a great movie, I don't know what the hell is. That's solid. But instead, we had Margaret being stared at by a poor man who had mental disability, so he was looking at her with a tilted head, licking bologna and sticking it on the window of the airliner. Jesus. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Somebody is suing Starbucks. Now, dig this. This is another one of these it-was-too-hot cases. Lawyer Matthew Marlin had the reaction he admits most people would have when a woman talked to him about suing because she got burned by coffee. I thought, oh, great, another McDonald's case. However, and if you remember in the McDonald's case, a jury awarded a New Mexico woman nearly $3 million in 1999 after she was burned by spilled coffee. A judge later reduced the punitive damages to $480,000, and she eventually settled for an undisclosed sum that was under $600,000. Marlin said the lawsuit he filed for Molly Alter on Friday in Madison County, and this is, I believe, in, I don't know where the hell, Arkansas or some joint, is different because a defective cup caused the spill. The suit was filed against Starbucks on behalf of this lady, Molly Alter, a Southern Illinois University graduate student who bought a cup of coffee at Starbucks shop on campus December the 3rd. It was not an accidental spill. He claims the cup was bent or creased, causing hot coffee to spill onto her hands. She's studying metalsmithing, but missed classes and had to take grades of incomplete in three courses because her hands were bandaged like two clubs. There was something wrong with the club. Somebody should have caught that. The coffee spilled after she walked 20 to 30 feet from the store. She suffered second-degree burns and lost a layer of skin on both hands. Oh, my ass. This is another one of these news stories that you got to know how to read, sports fans. So let's move into that mode, shall we? She walked 20 to 30 feet from the store. She suffered you know what a second degree burn is, don't you? It's like a sunburn that when you peel, that's a sunburn. That's a second degree burn. Okay? Now, scalding hot coffee is going to cause more than just skin to peel off. Scalding hot coffee is going to cause permanent scarring. So therefore, because she wasn't scalded, which would be a very serious burn requiring a burn unit care, because she wasn't scalded, they got to come up with a new one. I know, she's in a metalsmithing class. Okay, I mean, I'd like to know when she enrolled in her metalsmithing class. Maybe she saw the coffee burning her hands and said, I better get over and enroll in metalsmithing, and then I'll call a lawyer, and it's going to be really, really great. I don't know if that's what happened, but a second-degree burn, and that her hands were bandaged up like clubs. Well, you know, you go to an emergency room and a doctor, they're gonna put a whole lot of ointment, antibiotic ointment, and they're gonna bandage it up, and they're gonna put your thumb, they'll probably, you know, tape the thumb in too. So yeah, you look like a seal. Whatever, dude. So then the guy says that she's studying metalsmithing and has missed classes and had to take grades of incomplete in three courses because her hands were bandaged like two clubs. He's seeking a judgment in excess of $50,000, which is a legal requirement. If it's going to be in excess of $50,000, you have to say. He probably hasn't settled on a number, but I guarantee it's probably up around, you know, the six-figure range. Starbucks spokesman said money she could not comment on the suit because the company had not yet seen it. The director of the Illinois lawsuit Abuse Watch, based in Troy, said his organization believes plaintiffs like Alter are entitled to appropriate recovery when they're injured by defective products, but in Madison County, which has a reputation of being a plaintiff's paradise, that's not always the case. Okay, so already they're looking at this thing, and here I am, I hate Starbucks. And here I am talking and defending these guys. Because you remember that lawsuit, Janice, last month against, was it Smith and Walensky, or it was the food joint? They found a condom in their clam chowder, huh? Yeah, funny how that story went away, too. These people that are looking for the easy dollar, man, really make me want to chirp. I feel like just pitching up blood. Can't you make an honest dollar? Can't you people who want to sue every time? And these people, these professional litigators... This woman up here with the kid, this poor little boy who may have been molested, she's done it. So already she's suspect because she's gone out suing people. And they look into the background of that lady with that freaking lottery ticket. She's suing people. This is a whole racket, man. Along comes some student who just a woman who happens to be in metalsmithing. I don't doubt that there are women in metalsmithing, but it just also happened to have her hands burned and also just happened to have them burned really bad by a cup of coffee that she also just happened to get from a company that's worth a lot of money, man. A lot of freaking dough, baby. You going to sue Harry's Coffee Shop, huh? Huh? You going to burn your hands on Harry's Coffee down there at the corner of 5th and Main? Some guy with hairy armpits serving you up that coffee in one of them little cups? No, you ain't going to sue him, but it just so happens you got your hands burned at Starbucks. Cats are made out of money. I got a prediction that one's going to go south. But getting back onto Starbucks and how much I hate it, I would love to see those guys go out of business because I'm so addicted to their coffee that Chris had to go over and get me another one. And that's what I'm talking about. I drink your coffee and I hate myself for it. And the other thing, did I tell you I went in there with the Swede the other day and we got coffee? Did I tell you? And the guy behind the counter was doing his whole Starbucks number again. He had the spiked hair with 85 earrings. And he says, okay, sir, what are you going to have? And I said, you don't have this. And he says, and what about this guy? He's talking about my friend, the Swede. This guy? Listen, punk. Make me that coffee or something bad's going to happen, man. I'm going to let the ghoul out of the vault. 1-800-449-8686. Anybody for any coffee? I hear it's scalding hot. I mean, I hear it's delicious over at Starbucks. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
(1-800-449-8686) And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I was talking with the young lady that answered the phone. That the reason I kicked the story was because I did see a hand and I saw some kind of a metal object. And I am just on to say to people, please, please treat your veterans with respect. Allow that we have seen things. And we have done things that the rest of you, quite frankly, you would never sleep again if you saw the things that I saw in Korea. So if we are in our own way difficult to understand...
Well, let me ask you to recap. You were on your way in an elevator to see... You had a business appointment?
Yes, sir. I had a business appointment at the Shotney Building in Pasadena, California.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. And...
Are you anywhere where you can hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. I was going up to see our attorney. My wife and I are finalizing our will and some other matters. In any event, I got under the lobby elevator, and I remember thinking
because I hadn't been in a business building in a while. I remember thinking in the elevator, you know, here it comes. You know, there's always someone who's going to grab the door at the last second. And I said, oh, boy, here it comes, you know.
And why is that a problem, Lloyd?
From the standpoint of what?
Why is it a problem? You're in the elevator, you're going, here it comes, someone's going to grab the door at the last minute.
Well, from the standpoint of a veteran, and you can contact the Korean Veterans of America for more information on this, but from the standpoint of any veteran on an elevator, I don't mind pushing the button to hold the elevator for someone. But what you really shouldn't do, and what I cannot abide, and other veterans know what I mean, I will not deal with someone grabbing the door, sticking their hand into the elevator as it's closing and trying to push the door open. If you've ever been in close combat, as I have, the sudden thrust of a head and the arrogance behind someone thinking that they can grab an elevator door that I'm on. And it's if they're saying, well, hi, I'm just here to hold your world up. Can create a very dangerous situation for that person because I reacted instinctively to that.
All right. It's kind of like a fight or a flight situation.
Yes, sir.
All right. What I learned from the newspaper report, you were on an elevator, you saw a woman trying to open the doors, and you saw her thrust some kind of a metal object into it.
Well, again, I want to be clear, Mr. Henry, that the doors were beginning to close, and this woman comes along with some kind of metal device trying to jam the door open, and the first thought you think is, you know, who do you think you are trying to impede this elevator? My instinct, and believe me, it was drilled into me at the age of 18 at a place called the U.S. Naval Training Center in San Diego, California. I was a punk kid. When someone comes at you, you respond. And I kicked the device she had as hard as I could, and then I moved forward and pushed her by the shoulders back out of the elevator. Understand, Mr. Henry, she had this thing halfway through the door.
All right, let's be clear. The device you're talking about kicking was a baby stroller with a child in it. Is that correct?
All right, I did not know this at the time. The police later told me.
Well, the Pasadena police said you kicked the stroller so hard it flipped over with a child in it. The child was underneath. The woman, Rachel Hill, and the little boy, Paul, he was underneath. And the woman was pushed so hard she fell back into some kind of a jewelry kiosk in the lobby. And knocked all of that.
Well, I already got this information for the police report, so I don't
know. No, but I'm saying for my audience, the child was underneath, the woman was pushed backwards out of the elevator into some kind of an impromptu jewelry kiosk that apparently was knocked over as well.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay.
And as you tell the story, Phil, I just want to stress, none of that had to happen. If the woman hadn't been so arrogant and unconscious to the needs of veterans as to stick her hand into my elevator and try and stop the doors from closing. So we do say, please, please, treat your veterans with respect.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
One matter, Phil.
Go ahead.
This stupid woman didn't even take a moment to check and see if I was a veteran. She didn't she said, oh, I want to hold the door, please. And I'm thinking, you stupid. So please, ladies and gentlemen, understand your veteran and treat them with more respect.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The gentleman I have on the line, Lloyd Bonafide, is a Korean War veteran, correct, sir?
That is correct. United States Navy, sir.
And last week, you, according to police, were on an elevator that was attempted. You were on your way to a floor, and apparently the lady came along and tried to stop the elevator and get a baby stroller in there, and you kicked the stroller clear, flipping it over a couple of times.
I gave it a pretty good kick. It looked like it was, it went up in the air about 3 feet, yeah, and then flipped.
And then you pushed the woman back into a jewelry kiosk that someone was operating. And apparently you were arrested for assault. I want to be clear. If you're in an elevator and I want to look and I walk along, or any of my listeners walk along, and we hold the door as it's closing to get on, you take that as a veteran, as a threat.
Yeah, you have to understand, Phil, and I'm sure you're a nice man. I'm sure your listeners are nice people, but you think you have the right to arrogantly hold a door of an elevator open that I'm on? Oh boy. You know, I almost died for this country, and along comes some yuppie who's pinched out two kids. Well, and all she's done is add two more inmates, as far as I'm concerned, to an over-burgeoning prison population. And I almost died for this country in Korea, and she's going to hold the elevator? No, sir.
All right, well, what are the police going to do? I imagine, excuse me, you have to answer to these charges on some level. You were arrested.
Phil, yes, sir, but I'm a 71-year-old senior citizen. They're not, and rightfully so, going to put me in jail after all I've done. You recall this gentleman, Mr. Weller, out in Santa Monica?
The man whose car ran over all those people.
Yes, sir. He is a man who's respected in his community, and he won't go to jail. And I'm a veteran. They're not going to put me in jail, and especially after they hear my story. And the reason why I'm on your program is to just remind people, you see what happened to her, please don't disrespect your veterans.
1-800-449-8686, the number on the Phil Hendry Show. You know, elevators and people stopping elevators can be an irritant. I know that I like to have my elevator just, you know, once I'm on, I want to go. But there are all kinds of people that need to get on, okay?
Maybe you didn't hear me. I said I don't mind pushing the button and holding it open. But when someone sticks their hand on that thing, and the other a guy about a year ago, and I couldn't believe this guy was asking for it. He held the door open to talk to somebody for a couple of seconds, and I said, boy, is he asking for it. So this is why I said, I don't want to get into it, but this is why I say, please have more respect.
You mean, I've seen people do that. They'll hold the elevator door for a second while they're talking to somebody in the office?
I suppose, yeah.
And you said, boy, is he asking for it.
Well, if you do that, and I'm on your elevator, or any veteran, you are begging for it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lloyd Bonafide, Navy veteran, who was on an elevator last week. Lady grabbed the door to hold it open, as we all have at odd times. And apparently, Mr. Bonafide, being a veteran of combat, it was an instinctive thing. He kicked her baby stroller about 3 feet into the air with a kid in it, and he pushed her right back into and through, according to police. Now, I don't know what it means when you push someone through a kiosk, not just into one, but through it. Some kind of a temporary jewelry kiosk or jewelry stand in the lobby of the hotel. The message is, please respect your veterans more than that. 1-800-449-8686. And I respect our veterans as much as anybody, but I certainly have got to draw the line at pushing a woman in a stroller. And let's go back to the phones. Rebecca, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Mr. Bonafide.
Mother of four, and the point I wanted to make is, in his statement at one point, he had said that the woman said, can you please hold the door? And he's talking about respect. He needs to respect that this woman is a mother of four, and maybe her children will be going off to war, and he needs to respect her. And how arrogant is he to say that the elevator only belongs to him?
No, I didn't say that, but, you know, I'm on the elevator. There were three other people on the elevator. Where does she get off telling me to hold the elevator? In other words, I was fast enough to get on it. Why doesn't she hurry her often pregnant rear end up? You know.
You're saying to me that a pregnant woman with children deserves no less respect than you? My grandfather was also in the Korean War, and my grandfather, whenever he sees a pregnant woman or a woman with children, will always hold the elevator for her.
Well, yes, you will.
Will always hold the door for her.
If you're behind her, you'll hold the door. But once I'm on the elevator and I'm ready to go, Now she comes along with a couple of kids who you say may be veterans. For all I know, they may be at San Quentin. You
no,
see, you don't think of that.
What nationality was this woman that you're assuming that her children will end up in jail? Because during your speech,
well,
you said...
she looked an awful lot like a lot of these, some of these whites that live down in the... We have a couple of mobile home parks in Monrovia. And
so
a lot of these whites.
So not only are you arrogant and self-absorbed, thinking that it's only for you, but you can make judgment calls about other people.
No, ma'am. All I'm saying is for these arrogant people to take a second out of their so-called busy day and check and see if a veteran is on the elevator before you put your...
How is she going to know you're a veteran when all she's doing is trying to get an elevator? She said to you, please hold the elevator. How is she in that moment going to say, before I ask you to please hold the elevator, can I ask if you're a veteran?
Well, first of all, there's a number of ways. That's crazy for you to do. First of all, she said, will you hold the elevator? And I said, no, I will not. She got her answer. So why does she begin to intrude on my life and the lives of the other people on it?
So she said, you said, no, I will not, and then proceeded to kick a baby so hard that it flipped through the air. And if you were trained,
I was trained to
recognize what things are. So you must have known.
Good point, Rebecca.
She had a stroller.
I saw a flash of metal, a woman's arm, with the red fingernails.
Most strollers, sir, I have four children. Most strollers are made out of plastic and they're blue.
Well, ma'am, you
would have been able to tell the difference. And if you were trained in personal and close combat, you would have known the difference.
She should have had the common decency to wait for another elevator instead of trying to cram us with the... How dare she try to frighten me further by cutting off my air? And
your air?
The claustrophobia of an elevator is one thing. To put a baby stroller in there,
she's trying
to cut my air off.
This is not a respect issue. You've got like personal problems that you need to deal with.
I'm saying that every day is a survival issue.
I thank Rebecca. We do need to take a break.
Well, I want to make this final point, if I could, Phil, to simply say, every day is a survival issue for... And if you see a metal stroller, fine. You see a metal stroller. I see a Chinese rifle. And it was a very distinct rifle. The Chinese used an M1. And sweet living Christ, who is busier? A stupid woman with a kid or a man fighting for his life at the Chosin Reservoir? Last time I checked, I held a rifle in my guts in the mud, and she's got a throw-up bib on her shoulder looking for a play school.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I understand, sir. I understand the issues involved being a veteran. I thank Rebecca for her call. We're talking about a veteran, a Korean War veteran, who was asked to hold an elevator for a woman who had a stroller. He didn't want to hold the elevator. She insisted on pushing the stroller in. He said he reacted instinctively after having been in close combat in Korea. He kicked the stroller about 3 feet in the air and pushed the woman back through some kind of kiosk in the lobby of the hotel. It was a business building in Pasadena. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And Lloyd Bonafide is a veteran of the Korean War. He arrested last week by Pasadena police for pushing a woman in a baby stroller out of an elevator. You said you didn't like her holding the door. Where are you right now, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Where are you?
Yes, sir. I'm at the Los Alamitos quarter horse track. I'm watching the quarter horse races with my nephew this evening.
Oh, okay. It sounded like you were at a racetrack, right?
Yes, sir. We're at Los Alamitos, California. Yes, sir.
All right. My question is, you said there's a lot of veterans coming back from Iraq. This could happen.
Yeah, well, you have a lot of veterans who've been exposed to combat coming back from the theater in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I would hate like hell to see a child or a pregnant woman or a senior citizen pushed through a plate glass window because they failed to respect our veterans. And I could tell by the way that woman was picking the glass out of the little boy's hair and her coat that she realized she would never disrespect a veteran again. We have thousands of troops on their way home, and God bless every one of them. And I would hate for one of them to be on an elevator when someone says, oh, and they grab the door. You'll pull back a wrist. You won't pull back a hand. There'll just be a wrist. And the watch will be gone. You know, so.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me talk here to Frank. Hello, Frank. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Mr. Bonafide.
Yeah, I'm in Seattle, Washington, and I've been listening to this here.
Yes, sir.
You've been out of Korea for at least 50 years.
1952 is when they busted his home in San Diego, California, yes, sir.
Okay, it's 52 years, and there was thousands and thousands of veterans in Korea.
Yes,
and
sir.
And if they all came back with your attitude, this would be a very poor, sick country. But because we have such great veterans, you not included, we have a great country. If they were all like you, we would really be in trouble because it's a matter of a little bit of respect for anybody. And if after more than 50 years, you cannot learn common courtesy and decency to fellow human beings, you should have stayed in Korea.
Well, sir, I want to say that I will hold the door open for any woman. I pull the chair out for any woman. I open the door for my wife even when we're going somewhere simple like the grocery store. But when I'm in an elevator and someone puts their hand on the door to stop it from going, oh, boy, the light is green.
Oh, but the thing of it is, she asked you to hold the door. You knew she was there. You refused.
That is correct, sir.
By you refusing, she had to do some way to get onto that elevator.
Sir, as a veteran, you can't tell me you would calmly watch some woman push a kid through a closing elevator door while a veteran of the United States military was inside who had an appointment with an attorney.
You've given an insult to the
All right, hold on, Frank. Hold on, Frank. 1-800-449-8686. Be right back.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm with Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran. I'm going to get back to our caller, Frank. And, Frank, thank you for hanging on. You there, Frank?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Now, I want to say this with Frank on the line to you, Lloyd. A man, 6 months ago, was holding open the elevator, talking to a friend of his in an office that you were on. You proceeded to pull that man's coat over his head and kneed him several times in the face. Now, I don't want to disrespect you as a veteran. I thank you for your service to our country in Korea. But, Lloyd, don't you think you need maybe the attention of the VA?
Okay, there you go. See, that's what everybody says. Let me tell you something. That guy held that elevator door open as if to say, hi, I'm Chinese. Well, mister, somebody says, hi, I'm Chinese to me, and I'm back at the Chosin Reservoir, lickety-split.
Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, my family goes back in this country for over 200 years before the American Revolution.
Oh, is that right?
And they've always been, you know, the veterans in my family. I had a woman, one of my women, a woman ancestors made gunpowder for the Revolution over 200 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
And the thing of it is, any of my relatives that ever did anything like you have done, I would disown them. Because well, that is not even being a human.
You say you had people with George Washington, huh?
Before George Washington, they've been in this country. Back in the early 1700s, way before 1776.
Oh, okay.
I have an ancestor that made gunpowder for the Revolution.
Now, as a Korean...
And over the years, been all kinds of relatives.
I think that's a wonderful thing, and I think, Frank, you deserve respect. And if I ever saw anyone disrespect any member of your family, mister, they better say their prayers.
But now,
wait a minute, Frank doesn't...
elevator, that is not showing disrespect for anybody.
If your ancestor who made gunpowder was in an elevator and somebody was holding open, buddy, they'd be sorry. Oh, man, I don't even want to think about it.
No, because the thing of it is, the veterans, I know lots of veterans. I know veterans that have lost arms,
yes,
legs, their sight.
Yes.
And I do not know any of them that would not show respect to other people in this country.
Thank you, Frank, for your call.
And I make no difference whether race or nationality.
Rest assured, Frank, please sleep better knowing that I would push a pregnant woman, anybody, down 6 flights of metal stairs if they...
You can't be serious.
I'm sorry?
You can't be serious of what you're saying.
Is this Frank?
No, this is Mr. Henry, the host of the show, sir, and I'm saying... A pregnant woman down 6 flights of metal stairs. 1-800-449-8686. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'd like to speak to your guest and say, sir, I thank you for your service to the country.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Semper Fi. And I would like...
Sir.
Sir.
I'm United States Navy. I did not have the honor of the Marine Corps.
No, sir, but we got the same scripts, okay? It's U.S. Department of Navy on the top, sir. Sir, I'm only as old as you've been out of Korea. I have been in a recon unit, been part of an intel group where we did extractions out of other countries. Been in a lot of sticky situations such as your own. And, yeah, it took me a few years after I got out to go ahead and become really adjusted to the real world.
Did you ever get a call from Hollywood to do the, you know, they do these war movies?
No, sir, I don't go for that.
Okay, let the man finish.
I don't go for that.
Let him say what he said.
I don't go for glorifying stuff that we had to do.
Uh-huh.
It was a situation that we had to take care of. We did it, and we took care of it. But, yes, sir, it took me a couple of years to go ahead and get adjusted. But I think... If you really reach down inside yourself, you'll be able to realize what's going on.
Cash that ticket for $50.
Okay, Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Okay, forget about cashing your tickets. This gentleman's talking to you. The gentleman, the Marine.
Yes, sir. I'm listening to the gentleman, yes.
Okay. Well, I wish he would listen a little bit closer. I really believe that what he's doing is using his training and his knowledge as an excuse. And granted, I've only been on this earth a little bit over 50 years, but still, sir, I believe that you were completely out of line on what you did. I've also been on a tactical unit and several law enforcement agencies here in Texas, and, sir, we've been in some very hairy situations. But I also know in the real world there's different things that you've got to look for. And that baby stroller, let me finish, sir, and I'll be more than happy to respect you.
Yes, sir.
If you will, sir. But I don't think... that you really thought through. I thought you just reacted. It was a situation that you were not able to control. It did not go your way. Sir?
Yes, sir, right here, but my horse dodged it on the turn.
All right, hey,
Mr.
listen,
Henry, can
Joe,
you still hear me?
I can hear you, Joe, and you've made some excellent points, and I thank you for your call and your service to our country. And I will move on to another call at this time, but thank you very much. Are you listening to any of these people?
I didn't get you.
Are you listening? You got the races going?
He was sleeping on the turn. Look at this piece of... You know, that guy, Williamson, he's a cripple. They might as well put that guy that got paralyzed from the waist down up in that horse. Am I still on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay, race is over. Look, Phil, if that woman got any further into the elevator, she would have taken a rock port to the right temple. Now, that the Rockport shoe, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it has a lead lining to it and can leave the Rockport insignia right in your eyeball. And I'm getting sick and tired of listening to a lot of these people sugarcoat the situation in our country right now with the Al-Qaeda and all of the whatnot. These young men returning from Iraq, Afghanistan, and other this other nonsense are going to be returning, and they're going to have a pant full of pissed off when they get back here. You want to hold their elevator open? Be my guest. If you don't mind looking at your own intestines.
So that's what it's going to be, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's going to be.
Laura, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm just listening to the last call you had. That's appalling that, I mean, he was trying to explain to what he was saying, and he was worried about his horse. That makes me just feel, you know, I've been taught ever since I was little to respect our elders, and right there, he wasn't respecting the caller what he had to say.
I agree with you.
She's talking about you.
The Marine gentleman?
You're worried about your horse, and he is coming from his heart, talking about how he served his country and you yourself. That was very disrespectful.
Well, I didn't mean to disrespect him. I could tell you I had a hot runner in the sixth race. He's
that doesn't matter. You're talking about a time when people have died, and you're worried about making money off horses. That's really offensive.
No.
Bill
Koshan is a very good friend of mine.
Exactly what you're doing to me. Anytime that gentleman was trying to talk, you were cutting him off when he was trying to make a point.
Well,
that's
I apologize.
Respect in itself,
well,
not cutting off somebody.
I apologize for that, young lady, but I would say to you, I would ask you this. Have you ever stuck your mitt into a closing elevator door?
Have I ever stuck my hand?
Yes, dear.
Yeah, I have done that. That's part of our society today. People are in such a rush. Sir, just listen to me what I'm saying. You know, I had a high school teacher who you are cutting me off. You're not even listening to what I'm saying.
Look, at my horse bailed out of the second furlong, and you're giving me what? You're giving me about your high school?
Just listen to what I'm saying. I'm not into high school. I'm saying a memory that I remember. I had a high school teacher who relapsed, who was in the Vietnam and Korea War. When someone put their hand against the locker, he immediately choked him and lifted him off his feet. He did not in any way provoke that action.
God bless him.
No, he hurt a boy.
If you're going to act like that in society, maybe you should talk to a counselor or something. My grandfather has been through the Vietnam and Korea, World War One, and World War Two, and it's something he says that he would never forget in his life.
Your grandfather was in World War One, World War Two, Korea, and Vietnam. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
The wars that he's talked about, he doesn't like to describe because there's nothing that someone can even describe.
Well, I don't believe that he was in World War One and Vietnam. That's a lot.
She said her family, not her grandfather, her whole family.
Oh, all right.
I'm just concerned that if you're holding those kind of feelings and those kind of memories that you're not expressing to somebody, you know, we're taught to express our feelings for somebody instead of it eating us alive, and that's what it's doing to you.
What do I want to eat? I'll eat my ticket. That's what I'll eat. I'm sorry, dear.
Look, and are you watching the races or are you listening to the lady?
Phil, let me say, Bob Chatham's a very dear friend of mine, and he owns Sweet Little Nothing, which was going here in the sixth.
I
had him on the nose.
You know, we're supposed to be learning in our generation to respect our elders that we can learn so much from. I'm not learning anything from this gentleman that's having to do with a veteran. Yeah, I respect him for
who
the service he provided. But that's ridiculous. He's worried about his horse race.
No, this is a very dear friend of mine, Bob Chatham. It was written by a little jockey by the name of Nick Persaud. And Sweet Little Nothing came in. Now, I got him at 8-1, and I'll be a son of a bitch if he didn't.
Could you please, sir, stick to the point of what we're trying to talk about? Please. Laura, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
That's not a photo finish. He beat him by four hands, you piece of sweet Jesus. Go down and tell him.
Are you listening to me?
Who am I speaking with?
This is the host of the show.
I'm not familiar.
All right, let me go over here to Wayne. Go ahead. Yes, Wayne, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you something, sir.
Yes, sir. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with a fellow by the name of Wayne Morgan.
Yes, sir. I'm Lloyd Bonafide.
I've been within the U.S. Marine Corps for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you something. I wish I was on the outside of that elevator. And in that,
well, your mouth is, you know, you write a check with your mouth that your body can't back up. But I can tell you this, Mr. Veteran, you ever put your hands on me while I'm standing in an elevator, that woman is taking up my air and trying to cut my windpipe off with, that stroller, and I drop you down that elevator shaft, then lower the elevator down to the lower floor, and then raise it up, and then lower it down again. So I just go to the fifth floor and the basement about six times to make sure you're flattened like a pancake.
Have you been drinking?
Is that you, Gladys?
Who?
Is this my wife?
No, this isn't your wife. I'm the host of this show. Have you been drinking?
Oh, why don't you get off my back? Christ, I didn't marry you for this.
Hello?
Yes, who is this?
I'm sorry?
Who are we speaking with?
My name is Phil Hendry. I'm a host of a radio show.
Oh, God. You did it again, didn't you, bad boy?
I just wanted to...
This is Miss... My name is Tara Bingham. I'm with Joyful Union Senior Retreat. He got away from our day trip here and grabbed the phone. I'm very sorry.
Who?
The man you're talking to, Lloyd.
You're a bad boy. Oh, yeah. Are you going to spank me with my pants down this time?
No, we're in public.
Yeah.
Turn it off. Some nutcase gets away from the group at a day trip to Los Alamitos and you put him on as a veteran? one 800 449 8686, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball, it's entertainment. The Phil Hendry Show is back. Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The more you talk, the more ignorant you sound. Now, how is it that you buying your daughter a bra make you a pervert?
Oh, really?
Now, listen, sir. Let me say one thing.
Why don't you ask one of these female lawyers who love to sue guys for being pervert? And one of these ladies at the party said, hey, Steve, do you have anything bigger than those hot dogs?
Okay, sir. Listen, let me say something to you. You are to be an example to their children. How can you set an example by suing your daughter, and then you have the audacity to say that you love your daughter and you want to take from her? How can you say you are very thin skin, sir, and you have issues? I would hope that you would check yourself into a hospital because you are mentally ill, because everything that comes out of your mouth makes you sound more and more stupid.
This is what I'm saying. You want me to be mentally ill, so they'll check me into a sexual pervert hospital.
You have issues, and how dare you disgrace your mother-in-law in saying that you're glad that she has breast cancer.
She's doing nothing but breaking my castanets for 15 years.
Let me tell you something. By her dealing with her cancer, she has no thought of you. She is dealing with her disease
with. You're wrong. She's sitting back there with cancer thinking, boy, this will bust his you-know-what.
That's what she's doing. She's got breast cancer. She's battling for her life, and she's thinking about breaking your castanets on that one.
That's right.
I really hope that you get some serious mental help, because you are ignorant, and you need help.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I'm at the birthday party for the girls. I'm grilling up hot dogs, and the women come over, and they say to me, you got anything bigger than those? Because they're waiting for me to be a pervert and waiting for me to be a pervert.
And so who was your answer to them?
I said, no, ma'am. I said, no, these are the only their bun length. That's what I was asked to get. And they all started laughing.
And that was it.
And they
you
all
know
start
what?
Laughing.
That was it. I hope that your wife would get the kids away from you, because you have issues.
See, there you go. Even though I don't want to be a pervert, you want to make me one.
What I'm saying is that you have mental issues that you need to deal with. And until you deal with them, you do not need to deal with your daughter or anyone else.
Okay, but my mother-in-law blames me for the cancer. She says that I've been a horrible husband for her daughter, and I caused her distress so bad she got sick, and I'm thinking about suing her for making those comments.
You know what? Do you work?
Yeah, I got my own construction contracting business.
Are you presently working right now? Because
I'm on the phone talking to you.
No,
I'm talking about each day.
She's calling me stupid. She's asking me if I'm working right now. Does it sound like I'm working right?
Not, sir,
no, because
the lady
what
was...
it is, you want to sue everybody. You're trying to get money. And all it's going to do, your lawyer would take the case. They'll take any case because they'll take the money from you.
Dolores Blasingame believes that we have a case that could go all the way to the Supreme Court.
She'll tell you anything as long as she can get her hands on your wallet.
You got that right. Well, thank you. So I am so glad that I turned this on because this is one of the most stupidest things I ever heard.
Oh,
and I pray... I really pray so that you get some help.
Can I ask you
really
a question,
do.
Then? How come those women asked me if I had any sausages instead of hot dogs? You know sausages are larger, and that's a sexual connotation. And, Mr. Henry, this time I'm going to say that I feel badgered by this caller, and I would like her name and address.
You're not going to get my call.
Are you going to sue me now?
Yes, ma'am. Because of the way you badgered me, yes, ma'am.
Don't give him anything, Sheila. Don't give him anything.
No. I won't give him anything. It's just the point that you're going to sue. Now you're going to sue me. What have I said to you? You're going to sue me for?
I'll sue you. Yes, I will sue you. I'll sue you for making fun of me and also for emotional distress.
What for what, man? Are you crazy?
Sir, had emotional distress before you called here. And number one, thinking about the emotional distress that you're going to bring upon your daughter. That's what you need to think
about. Bring upon my daughter? She laughed at me and put the training bra on me. I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my G. I don't believe this. You all have a blessed evening.
Get a
you
load
know
of
what,
this
sir?
Cat.
I'm going to pray for you. If you're crying because of the things I said to you, you need to think about it. But I really believe this is a crime. I don't believe him.
Will you pray for me?
Yes, I will.
When
yes,
she called
I will.
My wife to tell her about how she made me cry, my wife had the gall to say I would never fit into a training bra because I have man boobs.
Anyway,
sir, you
Sheila,
have a good night,
yeah,
okay?
You thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Is she gone?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level. And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I just want to say that I love my niece very much. She's my sister's daughter, and I would never hurt her or anyone. But The Crocodile Hunter is one of my favorite shows, and I'm a big fan of Michael Jackson as well. And neither of those gentlemen have gotten into any kind of serious trouble, and neither has The Crocodile Hunter. But my one sister... calls me and tries to tear me a new you-know-what and after she had heard.
All right. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. He's a construction contractor. This is an interesting story that we found today in one of the local newspapers about you, sir, and I don't want to prejudice your case, but you threw your niece off the roof of a house... because you were trying to emulate Michael Jackson and the Crocodile Hunter?
No, sir, I did not.
All right, well, let me just say to people, if you don't know the story, this guy, the Crocodile Hunter, it's on TV, his name is Steve Irwin. He apparently, and can we put Mr. Bozell on hold for just a moment, because I got a noisy line for him. Can you redial him? Anyway, this Steve Irwin, who is the Crocodile Hunter, apparently... was fighting or feeding a crocodile, is that right, Janice? While he was holding his infant son, and he has come under the same kind of attack that Michael Jackson... Are you there, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Okay. And he's come under the same attack Michael Jackson came under when he dangled his baby son over a railing. Now, you did that with your niece, right?
Well, let me explain. I love my niece. She's my sister's daughter. The children had piled some snow up. We were in Tennessee over the holiday, which is where we're from originally, from the Knoxville, Tennessee area. And they had piled some snow up. And Michael Jackson, he did it, and he didn't get in trouble. This gentleman you mentioned, Mr. Irwin, did it, and he's not gotten into trouble.
But you threw your niece off the roof of a house into snow.
What I did was I dropped her into the snow from about 15 feet, and that's not an unusually high highness to throw a kid from. But my question is, if Michael Jackson did it, and now the Crocodile Hunter did it, why do I do it, and then I get in trouble? And that's the same thing that's been going on for a lot of Americans. All the celebrities get to do it, but when Americans want to do something, they get into trouble. And that's why we filed our lawsuit.
All right, this Dolores Blasingame is your attorney in Riverside?
In Riverside, California, yeah.
and you are filing a lawsuit against Karen Hughes, who is your next door, who is your sister, right?
That's my neighbor is the lady from across the street, not my neighbor, but the lady from across the street is a Patricia Eubanks.
All right, we'll get to her, but you're suing your sister and her husband.
That's correct.
Why?
Well, sir, I'll tell you right now, I've never in my life been accused of being a child abuser, but my sister, who is Karen Hughes of Knoxville, Tennessee, she called me, and I'm quoting now, a stupid blank hole. Her husband, who's Mark Hughes of Knoxville, Tennessee, said if he'd had a gun, he would shoot me. Now, that's a direct quote. He said if he had a gun, he would shoot me. Additionally, I was a recipient of a threat from my own wife, April Bozell of Corona, California, who said, and I'm quoting again, it was the dumbest thing she ever seen a man do.
All right, you want to take a moment, sir?
I'm fine.
Okay, go ahead. You're quoting what your wife said?
Yes, sir.
She said it was the dumbest thing she ever saw a man do, and then what?
She said, and to think, it was one that she married. And I'm quoting her word for word.
Mr. Bozell, you got to see that if you... It's incredibly dangerous to throw a child off of the roof of a house, even into a pile of snow. How old was the child?
Tanya's just 18 months.
You threw an 18-month-old baby off the roof of a house into a pile of snow because you admire Michael Jackson?
No, sir, not because I admire Michael Jackson or the Crocodile Hunter 2. It's because they get to do it, and the average American doesn't. And now I'm in trouble. And I didn't do anything wrong. How come that is? And also, the other thing I want to say is, I was called a stupid a-hole, and I won't say the whole word. My brother-in-law said he would get a gun and shoot me.
You threw a child off the roof of a house. What if the child had been harmed?
The child was not harmed at all. The child was fine.
That's my understanding, but what if the child had been harmed? Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. You're in the construction business, sir?
Yes, sir. I have a construction contracting company in Corona, California.
All right. You apparently over the weekend, the Crocodile, while holding his infant son, he's come under attack in much the same way Michael Jackson has. That's your understanding?
That is my understanding, and it's also, I think, unfair for him. He knows what he's doing. He never hurt the child. He fed a crocodile, and he wasn't feeding his baby boy to the crocodile. Also, Michael Jackson knew what he was doing, and I know what I'm doing. But everybody's, saying that I'm a child abuser, and Michael Jackson...
Well, Michael Jackson took a lot of heat for what he did.
Well, they threatened, but nobody ever did. Nobody threatened to call, take his kid or anything. Nobody took his kid.
Are you going to have your children taken away from you?
No, but my wife, what I'm trying to say to you is my wife called me a stupid son of a bitch. My neighbor, my brother-in-law, and my sister-in-law all called me a a-hole, and A-S-S.
I understand what they called you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. You have named multiple parties in your lawsuit, not only your mother, not only your brother-in-law and your sister-in-law. You've named a Patricia Eubanks of Jerome, Tennessee, correct?
That is right, yeah.
And who is she?
She is a neighbor who got involved and called me a stupid son of a bitch. In addition to what my sister said and my brother-in-law, and also my own daughter called me an idiot, and that's... But that's my daughter, and I'm certainly not going to take no legal steps. But I can tell you, when your own daughter calls you an idiot, well, that'll really take the wind out of you. But to answer your question, sir, I knew exactly what I was doing. I knew my niece would fall directly into the middle of the snow pile, and I knew when she went in, we had the children stand by to dig her out because she went into the. We had a pile of snow, and it was pretty good powder that day. In fact, I went up to Baker Lift in the afternoon, took the children up. We went snowboarding because it was some good powder. But when the baby went in, we couldn't find her initially, but we got her out in time. She was fine.
You drop a baby off the roof of a house into a pile of snow, and she disappears into the snow, and you have to dig her out. That's going to scare any parent.
Oh, I understand it'll scare a parent, but that's because they don't know nothing, and they don't know anything about it. Okay.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Bozell, because I know we're going to get this question. What if that were your daughter? Instead of your sister's daughter or your brother's daughter, your brother-in-law's daughter, what if that were your daughter and someone took that child and dropped her off the roof of a house into a pile of snow to the point where she disappeared into the pile and had to be dug out. Even though she was fine, what would you think about it?
I'd be like most people. I would not have a problem with it.
You think most people wouldn't have a problem with that?
Not if it was the brother-in-law. You said, what if somebody was, would it be my brother-in-law?
So if your sister-in-law took one of your kids when they were infants and dropped them from the roof of a house, okay?
If it was my sister-in-law, I'd be, the way most Americans are, they would not have no problem with it. Because your family's everything. Your family's everything. You always got to back your brother's play. And we took a photograph of this. The whole reason why this happened is we took a photograph of it. I had my son, Stephen Jr., take a photograph of it as the baby hit the pile of snow. And we took a photograph of it and showed it to Karen. We showed it to Mark when they came home from Kroger's, because they'd gone over to Kroger's with my wife. They were going to get some prime rib for the dinner that night. We're having a holiday dinner. And I showed them the picture, and it said, look, and the baby's fine. I showed her the baby. I had Tanya. I was holding her in my arms. She was okay. And that's my sister called me a stupid son of a bitch. My brother threatened to shoot me. The lady across the street came over and called me a butthole, some kind of a name. My daughter called me an idiot. And and then on top of that, I stood there and wept. And that's a hell of a thing for a young boy to see his father do. I cried in front of Steve Jr.
All right, so the chronology is, you saw a crocodile hunter feeding a crocodile on TV, holding his son. You emulated this by dropping your infant niece off the roof of a house into a pile of snow. You had to dig her out?
She disappeared into the snow, and we saw where she went in, and the kids went in immediately. She didn't have no stoppage of breathing or nothing. And I would never do anything to hurt my niece. That would be crazy. And I'm not a crazy man.
All right. You take a picture of it to show to your sister and her brother to see, look, see, it, she's okay, and Michael Jackson didn't mean to hurt his kid either. And your brother calls you a bunch of names. Your sister calls you a bunch of names.
My brother-in-law, sir.
Yeah, your brother-in-law calls you a bunch of names, and so now you're suing them for calling you names.
Well, I'm not suing them for calling me names.
Well, what does the suit say? It alleges multiple trauma?
The suit claims multiple emotional assault, psychological trauma, defamation of character, and emotional rape, and with Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, California, is my attorney. But at no time was I out of control. I immediately wrapped the child in a towel. I've got the photograph of the kid before I dropped her off the roof and after, and there's no difference at all in how her head looks or anything.
And the child was bundled up?
We had wrapped her in some newspaper, and she was fine, yes, sir.
All right, hold the line. 1-800-449-8686. Are people a little too concerned about the well-being of children? Stephen Bozell is on the line with us. He dropped his niece off the roof of a house she's an 18-month-old baby, into a pile of snow. He was called a stupid this and a stupid that. He was threatened with all kinds of legal action by his sister and brother-in-law, and he says that they insulted him so much he's suing them, that at no time was he out of control, and that people like Michael Jackson for dangling his baby over the railing, or even Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, those people are unfairly criticized because we've gone overboard with child welfare. 1-800-449-8686. If somebody drops your kid off the roof of a house into a pile of snow, is it okay if they're related to you? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So, Mr. Bozell, you were just doing a Michael Jackson. You didn't think you hurt the child.
No, I did not hurt the child.
All right, you didn't hurt the child. You also think that your sister overreacted because you are related to her.
I think, Mr. Hendry, that when the uncle of a young niece has a little bit of fun with her, tosses her in the air, or throws her off a roof, or whatever, you know, I did not throw her off a roof. I threw her in a pile of snow.
But an 18-month-old infant...
Sir, I threw her into a pile of snow.
But I want people to know this was an 18-month-old infant that you threw into the...
But the point is, I'm her uncle. If I'd been a stranger, or if I was just a friend from across the street or unrelated, that's one thing. But I'm blood, and blood don't... Let me tell you what, blood's thicker than water. blood don't do, you but blood don't do bad to blood. And that's, and what upsets me the most is that my own sister thinks I would put her little girl in danger. If a complete stranger tossed Tanya off a roof in the stovepile, I'd be very concerned. I would think something wasn't right about that. But I'm that little girl's uncle. It's a shame my sister wants to ruin our relationship. And if she was abused by somebody as a child, I didn't know about it, and now she blames me. Maybe someone touched her area.
You're now saying your sister was abused?
I'm not saying that, but I'm wondering if she was.
All right, Mr. Stephen Bolzell with us. He tossed his infant niece off the roof of a house back in Tennessee into a pile of snow. By the way, the kid went into snow so deep you had to dig her out.
We found her immediately.
Okay, and you did that because Michael Jackson dangles his kid off the roof of a house and no one seems to care. 1-800-449-8686. It's one thing to do that, sir. You're turning around and suing anybody that criticized you.
This is America, last time I checked.
Right, okay, but you're suing them because they called you an a-hole.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go to Deborah. Hi, Deborah. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good, ma'am.
First of all, if this guy was so darn sensitive about being called names, why wasn't he sensitive to the fact that maybe somebody would react badly to this?
Because of the Michael Jackson incident, which I thought we were over it. On account of what he did.
What, so one famous person gets away with a stupid action and you're allowed to do it?
I'm the girl's uncle.
You don't want to hear something about blood is thicker than water?
Okay, and I would never hurt no child. That's my sister's daughter.
Yes, well, I've got a brother-in-law who is having sexual fantasies about his infant niece also.
How do you know about that?
Because he admitted it to his counselor, who promptly called my sister-in-law and told her about it. So listen, don't tell me that just because you're a relative means that you're not going to hurt somebody,
okay? If I were you, I'd seek counseling then.
It's not my
problem. Why does she need to seek counseling?
She's just sad about it.
What about the guy who's having fantasies about his niece and you're out there throwing an 18-month-old child off the roof? I think you need counseling.
Well, ma'am.
You need to have your IQ checked.
Well, you know something, ma'am? My niece is fine, but you're the one who's got a brother who loves and wants to have sex with a kid.
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
Listen. Okay, that's beside. I'm just in there.
That's your own brother, too.
No, it's not. It's my brother-in-law. Listen, what I'm pointing out is that you're so darn sensitive about being called a couple of names. You know, it's a free country, you say it is. Well, true it is. That's why there's
right.
The freedom of speech.
Right.
Why can't they call you a few choice names?
Why not? Wouldn't you be tempted, Mr. Bozell?
No, not if it was a family member. Okay, and this lady's making up some story about her brother-in-law. I don't believe that at all. I don't think a man would have... Well, you think it's funny. That proves she's making it up.
No, I just can't believe that you don't know me and you don't know my situation.
Well, how come you're all of a sudden it's convenient that your brother-in-law wants to have sex with a baby and it's my brother?
I don't think it's very convenient at all. I think it's pretty sick.
Oh, I can tell you think the whole thing. Quit clowning around. Yeah, see, she's clowning.
I think what she's saying is, you know, it's maybe unbelievable that you don't believe it, but there are that kind of, those are, people exist like that.
That want to have sex with a baby child.
Yes, sir.
Well, then then that proves that I'm all right. All I did was throw a kid off the roof of a house, and there's a guy out there that wants to have sex with a baby? Sweet Christ.
Okay, you know.
People are calling up talking to me?
All right, let me go to Francis here. Francis, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I just want to tell that man, are you stupid or retarded or something? You know.
Wait a second, you just heard a lady.
Do you think, you know, monkey see, monkey do? Do you think that it is correct? What about if, you know, something would have happened to that baby? You know, he could have, like, broke his neck or something. You would have been happy with that?
We had tested it out with a baby.
Tested it out? What do you think, this is like a stunt? Or
no, ma'am,
do you think the baby's
was
a mannequin or an animal or a pet?
Ma'am,
even the people do not throw the pets
something?
Off a roof.
May I say something, please?
What?
We had tested it out with a large doll that my daughter had.
Your niece is not a doll. It's a human being.
But
just because, you know, other people get away with it, or if they do or if they don't, you know, that's them. But that is not correct.
Can I ask a question? Are you trying to tell me, Mr. Bozell, you threw a doll off the roof a number of times to...
Just to get wind velocity, yes, sir.
And then you threw this living baby.
Yes, sir, but that proves that we cared about the well-being of the child, but we wanted to test wind, we wanted to test drop.
No, you don't care about the well-being of a child.
How do you figure?
They could throw your ass in jail for doing that.
Ma'am, I knew the baby would fall into the deepest part of the snow because it took us longer to dig her out. She was smiling when we pulled her out, and we gave high fives all around, and it worked. It worked.
Oh, that is fun. High fives. What about if something would have happened? What about
ma'am,
if she
nothing
died
would,
or something? What about if you couldn't took her out? You know, she, you know, or something. She would have stopped breathing.
First of all, ma'am, I'd like to point out that it's not couldn't took her out. It's what if you could not have taken her out?
Okay. Oh, I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, so your grammar, ooh, boy.
Oh, watch your language,
I'm
please.
Sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
You'll see right there. We had thrown a baby doll off the roof, tested wind velocity.
A baby doll and a baby, it does not weigh the same.
Is that lady speaking Spanish back there?
I'm sorry?
Is that a woman behind you speaking the Spanish language?
Yes.
All right, I can. Please tell her to speak English. We're in America now. Thank
you
very much.
Well, I'm sorry. You know what? I'm sorry, but you're speaking to a Mexican-American person, and
okay.
I can speak any language. And
you are living in the United States of
America,
and I
have the right
please.
Of speech.
Well, you speak English in the United States
well,
of America.
Well, you know what? So what? I can speak any language. You know, we ain't talking about me, okay? We ain't talking about my language. We're talking about...
And ma'am, I would...
You know what? Even though if you're in Mexico, beating up
speak.
A child or doing anything to a child, that's illegal, too.
Ma'am, could you please tell the Mexican to speak English?
Well,
wait a minute. Wait.
You know what? I'm talking about you being racist or anything. I'm talking about your ignorance
let me
throwing
you
a kid off a roof.
Senorita, have you ever even seen snow? Yeah, okay.
Yes, I have been. I've seen snow.
They don't have none down there.
Okay, look, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Throwing a child off the roof of a house into the snow. It's a Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Stephen Bozell is on the line. He is a construction contractor from Corona, California, who is suing his own sister and brother-in-law. And his own wife has been named in a lawsuit. He says he was emotionally traumatized by their angry reaction, calling him names, referring to him as an a-hole, referring to him as a son of a bitch, threatening to shoot him. Their reaction was because he had taken the infant daughter of his sister, his niece, and dropped her off the roof of a house into a pile of snow to prove that it wouldn't hurt her. And that Michael Jackson and Steve Irwin, the Crocodile Hunter, and other parents who have seemingly exposed their kids to danger have been wrongly criticized. Now, you mentioned that before you dropped your niece off the roof of this house, you tested it out with a baby doll.
That is correct. And that is key to our lawsuit. That calling me I can't use the word, but the A-S-S hole, and also calling me a son of a bitch was ill-directed. According to my attorney, that's legal terminology, ill-directed, because I'd already taken precautions to test it out. So they had no right to call me a stupid son of a bitch and these kinds of names.
All right, since you had dropped a baby doll off the roof of the house, how many times?
We had done... approximately 20 to 25 test drops.
Well, what kind of a doll? I don't understand. So, in other words, because you test dropped a plastic doll, that they had no right to call you an a-hole because you knew what you were doing?
That is correct. That is correct. And that's our claim to the court, that I knew precisely what I was doing because we had done 20 to 25 test drops, testing wind velocity. We did it in a variety of weather conditions on two separate days.
Well, so this was a big thing for you.
Well, yes, sir, because I wanted to show that even if Michael Jackson had dropped his son, that maybe he would not have got hurt.
So over a two-day period, you dropped plastic dolls off the roof of a house to test out your theory that you could drop your own niece into a pile of snow and she would be okay.
That is correct. And as I showed all the test data to my brother-in-law, and I also showed my daughter... my niece, I should say, to my brother-in-law, and she was fine. And he still said he wanted to take a gun and cut me a new ass.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Steve Bozell. Let me go to Gloria. Gloria, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, I'm calling for the first time. I cannot believe this man. He says family doesn't hurt family. It does not give you the right, because you are family, to risk an 18-month-old's life dropping her blindly into snow. You call these test drops. There could be a rock under there. And clearly, you have nothing better to do with your time with your niece. You couldn't play on a sled. You couldn't enjoy her, but you test drop her to prove a point.
I think it's an excellent point, Gloria. Steve?
Well, first of all, ma'am, there were no rocks. We had used the snow. We piled the snow. We had the children pile the snow. There were no rocks. Obviously, we would test against that precaution. Number two, we had a what's called a Betsy Wetsy doll, which was a doll made by Hasbro. Five times out of six, she landed in the right in the center of the pile, and six out of six only went down 3 feet. So
sir,
we knew.
Sir, with family like you, no one needs enemies. Your sister is lucky that you never get near the niece or any other children if you're going to test drop them anywhere.
No, I did
you
not test.
No, you need to carefully consider what you test drop. I don't think this gentleman here should be equated in any way to the alligator man, in that
that guy
is so comfortable with the alligators, I really believe that he would protect that baby.
See, there you go.
I don't
that
see
proves
in any way, excuse me, I don't see in any way that you were trying to protect this child.
Ma'am.
You were using her as a toy, as a gadget, as a thing. She is a human being that looks to adults to trust and to take care of them. And you are a fool.
Okay, what about the alligator man? You just said he knew what he was doing.
I said because he does this. He's an educated man. He lives with these alligators. I'm saying, how dare you even equate yourself to him? You are not in the same league.
Ma'am,
you are.
I was
raised in Riverside, and you shame me by saying you're in Corona. You are such a country bumpkin correcting a Latina lady. Shame on you.
We live in America, and here we speak English. Okay, that's number one. Number two.
You barely pull it off.
First of all, they're not alligators. They're crocodiles. Okay, so tell me
it
how... you're all smart, aren't you?
However, is an educated man who had his child in the arm. He certainly wasn't hanging the child over a pool of crocodiles.
All right, let me get Steve to respond, and then I think the caller's made some great points.
Well, no, she hasn't, because number one, she says that the alligator hunter or crocodile hunter knows what he's doing. I test dropped the Betsy Wetsy doll six times.
Well, wait a minute. This is a guy who is an educated man in zoology. He is.
Because he went to school. I'll check my notes, but only two times the Betsy Wetsy arm fell off, and that's because my daughter broke the arm when she was a little kid.
Oh, my God.
What?
You are frightening. Only two times her arm came off. Do you have children, sir?
Yes, ma'am, I've got two. I got Steve Jr. and my daughter April.
You know what? I will pray for them, because you have very poor judgment. It is very scary people like you are out there playing games like this with their children.
Okay, but the crocodile...
There were so many wonderful things you could have been doing in that snow with an 18-month-old.
Okay, but Mr. Alligator, he gets to do it. Okay, that's
what I'm saying is that you keep equating yourself to that man, and I don't think you're in the same
What do you mean,
category.
Mr. Alligator?
I mean the alligator hunter. And,
wasn't it you that corrected me about the crocodile? The point is
you called him
you
Mr. Crocodile.
In the same league.
When's the last time? Have you ever dropped a child in the snow just having fun with a kid?
It would not enter my mind.
You've never thought about tossing a child?
I am proud to say it would not enter my mind. I would, however, think of something crazy like going down a sled or building a snowman or throwing a snowball. But
that's never been done. No, that's so original.
Who cares? You're talking about a child.
Something original with your life instead of screwing around with a niece.
All right, thank you very much, Gloria.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'd like to ask the orientation of this woman, if I may.
What do you mean, orientation?
Sexual orientation.
Well, she's gone now. Thank you very much, Gloria. 1-800, what has that got to do with anything?
Because she sounds like a ball busting butch dyke.
Okay. Cut him off, please.
Mr. Henry, all I'm saying is if the Betsy Wetsy had broke, I would never have tossed Tanya off the roof of that house. But the doll was intact. I knew what I was doing through the series of test drops, through the velocity test, wind factor test, and stress test. Now, she lets Mr. Alligator, he gets to have his kid while he feeds an alligator. How come that is? Because she says Mr. Alligator is educated, but she won't take none of the test drops that we did into consideration. And so I'm just a piece of crap, and Mr. Alligator gets to do whatever he wants to do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jeremy, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Oh, right on. I'm not going to sit here and talk a lot of crap to the guy and make him feel all bad because I think they're doing a good enough job. But I've done some crazy things with my kid, too. But you said that was powdered snow, right?
Yes, sir, it had some fresh powder that morning.
All right, well, guess what? I'm a snowboarder, and powder has a lot of give to it, man. I could understand it if it was a little bit more firm packed, you know, but, dude, that powder gives, dude.
Well, dude, I know that. I mean, we had a big pile of it, okay? I needed
some give.
But
still, you go straight through it, man. I've been snowboarding for years.
Well, you don't go all the way through it down to China. There's a place where it stops.
Yeah, it's called
the
rock.
The ground. Of course you stop on the ground.
Well, I don't know what he's talking
now.
About.
No.
I've thrown my kid up in the air. I've had fun with my daughter. But if anybody else did it, I'd probably flip out, even if it was my brother-in-law, dude.
Well, wait a second. Your brother is not going to hurt no kid of yours. That's his blood, right?
Brother-in-law ain't exactly blood. Okay.
No.
Well,
see, you're talking your brother-in-law's the one that threatened you. If somebody threw my kid up in the air, I'd threaten to shoot him, too.
Well, how come?
Even if it was my brother-in-law.
Even if we'd done all the test drops.
It's a doll.
Okay, but we had powdered snow, and the doll...
But the doll's not going to tell you if it got hurt, is it?
Well, you can see if it got hurt. You can check and see if an arm came off.
But it don't bruise. You can't see crap, dude.
Well, when we pulled her out of the snow pile, she didn't have no bruises on her head or nothing.
Wait a minute.
You're very lucky. That's what I'm saying.
That's after the fact.
Very lucky.
Yeah, that's after the fact. I mean, how do you know
but
that
if
she...
If you were smart, I wouldn't do it again.
Well, I guess I won't, because now everybody's called me a butthole and everything.
Well, I know. Hey, man, I'm an independent sales marketer. I go door-to-door and sell to people all day. Should I sue everybody that's called me a name?
No, because you're not related to them or anything. And you weren't...
So what?
Well, you're not...
My mom's called me an asshole. Oh, sorry, pardon my French. My mom's called me some horrible names, too, and I still love her. I don't care.
Well,
a word is a word. Don't you teach your kids. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Well, now you're reminding me of my daughter. I used to say that to her all the time, and she's the one that called me an idiot. Broke my heart.
But how can you say that to your kids and not imply it, man? All I'm saying is if you're
going
to be a parent, lead by example, dude.
Okay, but you should try it just because it is fun. Take a kid and put a pilot...
Never mind what he should try. Thank you very much, Pat.
Dude, it's really...
Never mind. Here is Mary on the Phil Henry Show. Mary, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
Did this guy ever consider the fact the difference between a doll and a human child is the fact that they have a spinal cord and that this child could have been injured in that fall and that's why his 25 drops mean nothing?
Well, wait a second.
Because a Betsy Wetsy doll is not made like a human being.
First of all, I don't know what you're talking about, okay?
You don't know that human beings have spinal cords?
I know that. But if you...
They have bones and that they have things that... I mean, if you drop a Betsy Wetsy doll and you fracture their plastic, okay, fine. But if you drop a human being, there's things internally that can be fractured that you wouldn't have any eyewitness account to.
No, but first of all, we took the Betsy Wetsy doll into the garage and we sawed it in half to see what was inside of it, okay? There's no...
It's still not human.
You did
it's
what?
It's not human. It's plastic.
You took the Betsy
doll.
No, but we sawed the doll in half just to see what it looked like inside.
It doesn't look human.
Okay. I can tell you it's hollow. All right? Now, I don't know if you
ever... The human being is not. They have internal organs that can be in...
Look at that. Hold on for a minute. See that? You can't see it, Phil, but we're sawing another doll in half. It's all hollow in there.
Wait a second. Are you clown sawing?
That's what's down. A human being has a heart and liver and bones.
We understand that.
Soft organs can be damaged by that fall.
But we did approximate
that. You don't have a leg to stand on. And I can't tolerate your stupidity.
Oh, really?
And I don't appreciate your endangering the life of a human child.
Oh, well, ma'am,
thank you for letting me have my say.
Yeah, thanks for listening, too. Jesus. Okay, what I was going to say, Mr. Henry, is we sawed the doll in half and put, like, chicken parts and everything inside to make it look like it had guts and everything. Then we throwed it off. Like, right here.
Wait a second. I want to ask you a question.
Hold on for a minute. Yeah. Get it right there and then take them chicken parts and put it in. God damn, that's your finger.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute.
Shut it off. Tommy, shut it off. Yeah?
What are you clowns doing? Are you standing around all day sawing dolls in half and sticking chicken guts in them and throwing them off the roofs of houses? Dude, how old are you?
I'm 38.
38 years old, and you're doing stuff that I did when I was 10.
So you did do this?
When I was 10. 10, man. I took my sister's dolls, and I drove my bike over them just to see what would happen.
What did it look like?
What do you mean, what would it look like?
Oh, here, let me saw another one here. This is neat. I want to see what it looks like when we drop it off the roof.
Yeah, all right. Get rid of him. Gee, that's really neat. Let's drop it off a roof and see what it looks like. I know. Let's drive. Why don't you just drive over it with your truck? 1-800-449-8686. Good luck with your lawsuit, man, for what was that? Oh, yeah, emotional rape. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yes, I have a question for you, Larry. You profess to be a Christian man with women a little too high on the pedestal.
I'm very Christian.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Why are you sleeping with someone under your mother's roof?
There's nothing against sleeping with one a person that you love. In the connubial bed, if you're in love with them.
So it is okay as a Christian to sleep with a woman out of wedlock.
Are you Christian?
Yes, I am.
Well, then why are you asking me these questions? You should know this. You should know that it's perfectly all right.
Well, I don't know. In my Bible, I can't find anywhere about women farting.
Where does it say that you can't?
Well, that is one of the commandments, adultery.
If you're married. That's what adultery is, if you're married. I'm not married, and neither was Ann.
That's up for discussion.
No, it isn't.
What are we doing here?
No, it won't.
Ask a Catholic.
Am I what?
Ask any Catholic.
Ma'am, I'll have you know I'm a Christian. I would never even think of performing the oral performance on a woman. I have never performed that way.
Performed which way?
In the oral manner.
But it's okay to sleep with them,
yes,
impregnate
ma'am.
Them, but it's not okay for her to fart.
Ma'am, I was going to be the father of her child. I was going to take care of this woman in every manner that is associated with the law and the rules of the church.
Okay, you still are the father of her child.
I am not any longer, no ma'am.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
No, I am not.
Yes.
How do you
yes, absolutely
How
you
do you
are.
Figure that you're not?
Because she has befouled my bed. Do you think the mother of Jesus expelled that way?
Oh, don't bring up...
Absolutely, she did.
Oh, so now you are saying that Mary farted...
It is a normal human,
bodily
function.
But more to the point, how does this exempt you from your duties as a father?
By this woman... releasing gas and destroying my image of her as a pristine human being, she gave up her rights to my love and bastardized her son.
Oh, God,
oh,
man.
Good God.
Well, I can tell. She farted me right out of her life, and thus I am not her father. I'm not the father of that boy.
Well, it sounds like that was the best thing she could have done, then.
No, you know what she's going to do? She's going to take you to court, pal, for paternity, okay?
How dare this woman I'm talking to... Ma'am, you think the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ cut farts?
Yes, I do. She was a human being.
She was a human being, man.
It is a normal human function.
And I suppose you think our Lord did, too. Oh, now you got to think about that one, don't you?
You know something, pal?
He was not human. Mary was. It is a normal human function.
Well, I want to get back to the point that I'm trying to make, that don't you think it's unladylike? That was the point I was trying to make. Don't you think that young women should not do that?
I think that women, like men, can't help it.
Absolutely.
The Lord Jesus Christ that I believe in doesn't fart.
Well...
And the Mary, the Virgin Mother of our Lord, she of the golden faith that came down... and swept inside. The Holy Spirit that succulated and later was the ascension of our Jesus did not, she didn't fart.
I totally disagree with that.
Well, you're going to have a paternity suit.
You know something, Mr. Hendry? I'm prepared to cross that bridge when I get to it.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Extremism.